Hi there and welcome to Amplify. If you're a regular listener, you're probably thinking, what the hell's going on? It's Wednesday. Bob's never done this before. If you're a new listener, I'll explain what the fuss is about. The show normally comes out on a Monday and focuses on guest interviews. Well, this is a bonus show with no guests, just you and me. These are going to be a new weekly edition. Yes, we'll be together twice a week instead of once a week. I'm doing this because I want to unpack some ideas, some issues, and explore some areas which just don't work so well in guest interviews. One topic which comes up week after week is video marketing. I found this very difficult, so I thought it might be a good idea to share with you why I'm working through this, what issues I've had, and what's actually worked for me to make it much easier. So that's what we're doing today. If you're a new listener, take a second right now to subscribe to the show in your podcast player so you don't miss new episodes now twice a week. And you can dig into some older ones when you've finished this one. First off, feel free to jump to the end of this episode. I'm going to give you a lot of why before I get to the how of things. This episode is as much about getting your head right for video marketing as it is about some practical video marketing advice. I started the Amplify podcast back in October 2018, and my goals for the show were to make a start with content marketing and then build a business around that. Some of the best things about starting the podcast weren't what I thought they'd be, and many of the benefits were completely unexpected. Besides the outward success the show's had, here's what's happened. Number one, it's transformed my network. Because my show is guest-based, I get to reach out to people I think will add value to my audience every week. I'm spending time with them, and we get to know each other, and guests often become friends or at least acquaintances. Living in a fairly remote location, my network isn't now limited to the people I happen to meet. I get to choose who I meet. And because I have a podcast and I need guests, I have all the reason I need to reach out to anyone I want and actually offer them some value. Number two, it's transformed my knowledge and perspective. Spending so much time with the smartest marketers, experts, coaches, consultants, and creatives has completely transformed my own knowledge and practice. Real insight into any issue only really comes when you shine a light on it and you work through it with great teachers. Many guests have gone on to be informal and formal mentors. Number three, it's changed the nature of my business. I have to pinch myself to think that the podcast started just over a year ago. So much has changed in my business. Things are different on every level. I've achieved more in the last 18 months than I did in the last 10 years. I'm making more money now with a small virtual team than I ever did with a big team in a traditional agency. Not only that, I'm doing work I love for clients I love. Number four, and this is at the risk of going a little bit Ron Burgundy, another benefit is that the first shoots of industry authority are showing. I'm saying authority in air quotes or bunny ears, that is, I'm not supposed to call them. Because I host the show, I'm approached daily by people who want to be guests. Guests talk to each other. And because I have a platform and I'm a nice guy, people help me out. I'm understating this whole nano-influencer thing because nobody likes a show-off, but opportunities are starting to come which I'd never normally be in the path of. Number five, I'm much more confident in my own competence. When you spend time with the smartest people in and around your industry and you hold your own, it's great for your confidence. When the best in the business tells you something, you try it. A lot of my old competitors must think I've lost my mind, because while they're all busy doing the same old thing, Crazy Bob is off doing things in a completely different direction. And I'm fine with that now. So all that sounds great. And now I've said it, I can see why I don't want to change the show at all. I might smarten up the intro and get some Hollywood actor to introduce me, over dramatic music maybe, but other than that, I don't want to change it. But it's not enough, because it's guest-based, and I'm not really helping drive my business the way that a solo platform would allow me to do. I don't want to change it, but it feels like it's time to graduate and try something new. In all the interviews I've done, some themes have emerged. One of the most obvious has been that video builds your personal brand better than anything else. Coupled with this is the compounding effect that a YouTube channel can have. Now, I'm not writing a post about why video is good or why YouTube in particular is a very good bet. They just are. I've spoken to lots of people like Gavin Bell, Amy Landino, Chris Tucker, Philip Van Dusen, and Joe Burnish, and they've all said the same thing. It's hard, uncomfortable, and people will think you're crazy. But they also say that it's been the single most powerful thing they've done for their business, and after a time, it drives most new opportunity. Gavin Bell, in particular, spoke about video marketing allowing him to build relationships at scale through video content. Now, this is a tricky thing to get your head around, but reflect on how you feel about anyone you regularly see on screen. So why am I talking about this now? Well, over the last year or so, I've learned a lot about what works and what doesn't. The way I deliver value to clients has also changed in that time, and walking the walk has become very important to me. I have to be seen to do the things that I'm advising others to do, the things which I know work, and it often comes back to video. I've seen firsthand what kind of business you can create when you reach beyond your geographic catchment area through video marketing, how it can free you from doing the same as everyone else and allow you to focus on the value which you uniquely bring to the world. I know now that it's the kind of business I want, but the price of admission is an acceptance that you have to live on the edge of what's comfortable. So, what stopped me? If you've listened to my podcast or spent any time speaking to people in the online marketing world, you'll hear the word niche, or if you're in the US, niche, a lot. The theory goes that the more specific you are about who you serve, the more compelling you become for that person. There's a whole lot more to it, but in the industry, there's a huge drive towards niching or niching. And for a lot of people, it's the right thing and quite natural. But for me, it's been a huge struggle. Your niche or niche is ultimately what informs your audience avatar. This is the detailed picture of your ideal audience member. Ideally, you'll have just one. And rather, all your content is created with that one person in mind. And I found it impossible. And it's paralyzed me for a long time. I knew that to move forward, I'd have to tackle this head on. It wasn't easy, and I'll not go into it in any depth here, but I've done it now. So, this is the bigger issue. There are some people who don't give the idea of appearing on video or social media a second thought. I don't get it, but I know those people exist, and I'm not one of them. Working with my clients, I know that most people feel the same. I think I'm happier speaking in front of a room full of people than I am about appearing on video. So let's break down what's going on in my head. And maybe in yours too. What are the mental barriers to video marketing? So number one is confidence. This is a great umbrella term which describes the experience of the fear of the unknown, simply. It's a primal response to any significant action where you can't anticipate the consequences. How badly we'll get hurt when it goes wrong. I'm an introvert. Now, I ran a survey a while back where 80% of respondents claimed to be introverts. Now, clearly that's nonsense. But we all use introversion as an excuse. And while I'm a genuine introvert who, frankly, fantasizes about the kind of alone time you can only get on a solo Mars mission, I know it's not a real barrier to video marketing because you do it alone. But I did use it as an excuse for a long time. Perfectionism. This is a bigger deal than you'd think, and any creative will tell you the same thing. By the time they've completed any work, all they can see are the flaws. It's a universal constant and it's always present. You will always get better, but you can't wait for that day to show your work. Vanity. And I'm probably not going to make many friends with this, but the truth is, most of us aren't as smart as we'd like to look. We don't sound like we wish we did. If you're 21, you probably wish you were 45 and had authority. And if you're 45, you probably wish you were younger and had more hair. Vanity has no place in business. This is work. Imposter syndrome. Oh my God, this is the real deal. It's easy to be the expert in your own head where no one is watching, but as soon as you do it in public, especially where peers or competitors might see, you start worrying. Someone's going to call me out. I don't think imposter syndrome can be fixed. I've come to look at it as the effect of being in the right place. If you're stretching yourself, and you should be, then imposter syndrome will be there with you. I think it's a survival mechanism and it needs to be managed. This is a word on discomfort. A lot of our reactions in life are primal and hardwired. We like to think we're rational and intelligent people, but the majority of our actions and reactions are governed either by habit or instinct. Our unconscious self hates change, and it will work like a bitch to preserve what it thinks is normal and safe, whatever that looks like. If you do anything which triggers any kind of anxiety, your brain goes into overdrive, telling you to run away or stop doing whatever it is that's causing this discomfort. For the last 5 million years, this was super helpful. For your video marketing, not so much. So I've got all that going on. I'm starting to sound a little neurotic, but it's the truth, and I know that if I really want to overcome anything or improve anything, then you have to spend a little time getting to know yourself and what might get in the way. The truth is, my video marketing is going to be awkward. Some people will make fun. Some might call me out. I will get things wrong. And it just might look a little crap for a while. And that just has to be okay. So, what's my plan? Think about the campaign and not the battle. I'm not going to worry too much about the effect of any one video. A campaign is made up of many battles, and you can't win every single one. Comfort zones are like muscles. They need to be exercised regularly. The more time you spend stretching them, the more elastic they become and the bigger they get. Today's crazy challenge will become tomorrow's normal, so this is part of my plan as well. I'm going to focus on marginal gains. A little thing done frequently will have a big impact. Marginal gains compound over time, and the effect is often greater than the sum of its causes. And I'm going to start really small. You don't need to jump right into the big leagues. That doesn't mean it isn't the goal. It just means you have to earn your stripes and learn the ropes. Something Philip Van Dusen told me about video marketing is never far from my thoughts, and it applies to so many areas of life, clearly not just content marketing. If you want to be a pro tennis player, then you can read books about pro tennis, speak to pro tennis players, watch them play, buy the gear pro tennis players use, but until you start playing tennis, you'll never be a good tennis player. So now we know what all the barriers are and what are my tactics for dealing with them. Well, like anything else, once you have a map, things get a bit easier. Once you know all these trolls in your head aren't real, they get a bit easier to deal with. There's still the reality of our human reactions to discomfort and basic biology. It's still not easy. This is why, if you're going to break through all the mental and emotional issues I described, you're going to need to know why you're doing it. Your why needs to be compelling enough to power you through the discomfort. I have no intention of jumping right into high production value YouTube videos. I will post on YouTube, but building an audience there isn't my priority right away. That'll come with time. My priority is getting comfortable with video. So here are Bob's baby steps. These are steps you can use to build your comfort and confidence into video marketing. These are the steps I've used to build my confidence, and I'm very confident they will work with anybody. Feel free to jump into these steps, whatever stage of confidence you're in, and they'll take you from where you are to very confident and ready to go. So the first baby step is video chat. If you've ever been on video, or frankly, rather, if you've never been on video, simply seeing yourself on a screen can be a startling experience. I work with clients through video chat every day, and I can see that for some of them, it's a disconcerting experience at first. It's so easy to forget that just because something is normal for me doesn't make it normal for someone else. If you've never been on camera at all, start by making FaceTime, Skype, or Facebook Messenger calls where you might have used a phone call before. The next step on the baby steps is video messaging. A step up from video calls where you have a chat in real time is video messaging. Here your brain is doing something different. You have to record a message and then send it to someone. This can be done using most messaging platforms. Where video chat is getting used to being on camera and seeing yourself there, video messaging is getting you used to recording something which another person will watch back later. You have to actually hit the record button and then give it to somebody to watch. Use this when you might have used a text message or an email in the past. The next baby step. Counterintuitive, I know, but it's live video. Once you've become comfortable with being on camera and having others watch it, the next natural step, in my opinion, is live video on social media. Now, at first glance, this might seem crazy, but I actually found it makes a lot of sense. In live video on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, people don't expect high production values or great editing or great lighting. Raw is normal, it's expected. Once you get your head around this, going live is actually a really smart move from a training perspective because you'll get used to larger numbers of people seeing you on video. The next baby step is one-time social media video. This is where a lot of people start and why they're immediately intimidated by it. Much like live video, nobody expects Instagram, Facebook story videos, or things like that to be polished. They're only around for 24 hours, and then they're deleted. Stories are a great way of easing into that kind of video and being seen recorded by a larger number of people. Stories are one aspect of social media video, but video posts on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook are equally good, but they hang around a little bit more, and often we're going to be more anxious about those posts. But certainly, once you're at that stage on those baby steps, you should actually be quite comfortable with that. The next baby step, and I don't think it's a baby step at all, I think it's an accompaniment to all the baby steps, is accountability. And whenever I read this in other people's content, I always have a bit of a reflux or a gag reaction. But accountability is a powerful thing, and it's the antidote to the brain's innate resistance to doing anything uncomfortable. Ask me to do something scary, and I might do it. Dare me to do it with you, and the chances of me taking action shoot up. Accountability can work a little bit like that. For me, Chris Tucker's Youpreneur community, and more recently his incubator program, has become my accountability group, and I've become an accountability convert, so to speak. I'm making video my top priority for 2020 because I have a very strong why. I know who it's for, what impact I want to have, and I'm clear about what it can do for my business. In addition, I've spent a lot of time understanding why I find it so difficult and developing a plan to overcome those challenges. Being confident on video is not normal, despite what you might think when you watch YouTube. I've spoken to many people who, if you watch them today, look polished and successful, but it wasn't always like that for them. They had to work for it, and I expect I'll have to work for it as well. My investment in podcasting is starting to pay off, and in ways I never expected. It was really difficult at the start, but became natural and normal very quickly. I know video will be the same, and I'm happy to go through the pain of getting used to it. Truthfully, I think I'm pretty much through the pain now, and I'm starting to enjoy it. Like podcasting, video marketing, and YouTube in particular is a long-term investment. People are wildly different on the inside. My challenges and goals are not yours. But if this resonates with you, then high five for listening this far. Reach out and tell me more about what you're planning. Thanks for sticking with me for this first solo show. It's so different from an interview, but I've enjoyed doing it. If there are areas of your own digital marketing you'd like to explore, or topics that come up in interviews which you think might deserve a deeper dive, then reach out and let me know. As usual, take a second right now to subscribe, and a 5-star review on iTunes is literally my favorite thing on earth. There really is no better way to show iTunes this show matters, and then they'll give me a little more reach on their platform. I hope my sharing has helped you. Connect with me on social media and show me what you're doing. See you on Monday when Pascal Fintoni will be telling us all about the 3 qualities brilliant content marketers have in common. This is an awesome episode, and I can't wait to share it with you. So see you on Monday.